Well, this morning we have a couple of guests joining us here in our studios from the Green Hills Area Education Agency. We'll talk a little bit with Dr. Lolly Hawes, the Chief Administrator, and Angie Hance, who's the Director of Targeted Services. It's back to school time. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Is back to school time, or it will be soon.
Yep.
So we're here today, hopefully, to talk a little bit to parents about what you can start thinking about as far as getting ready for school, and especially if you have a little one going to school for the first time, or even an infant or toddler at home that you want to make sure is ready for school when the time comes.
Do people tend to get a little tense now because it's the month of school starting again? We've got so much to do and so little time now to do it.
Well, I don't know. Some parents might get tense and some parents probably can't wait. It just depends.
Very true.
Pretty sure on both sides. School prep, it doesn't matter what age the child is, but is it more important when they're younger to kind of get them in those routines again, get them moving in the right direction?
Well, I would say for sure, but younger kids, but we hope that parents start thinking a little bit about getting children onto more of a regular routine, getting a regular, reasonable bedtime, start getting their 8 hours of sleep every night. High school students go to school very early in some school districts, and the older you are, teenagers and middle school age students, sleep is really important, and they really avoid getting it, and that can really impact their learning, their mood, their optimism, their eating habits, and all kinds of other things. So sleep is really important, and I would hope that parents start thinking about a regular bedtime that's a little more reasonable. Even though it is summertime and it's still light out at 9:30, it's good to get kids back into thinking about going to bed and getting those 8 hours of sleep so they can get up and get on the bus and get to school.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Angie, I'm sure you're doing a lot of outreach to specifically in the schools to try to work towards some of these goals, but we all know this. We just need to have some little reinforcement once in a while.
Yes, there are many components to school readiness, and when you think about a preschooler, it's not just the academic things that you're thinking about. You're also thinking about the social and emotional needs that they might have that we really have to prepare them for to be successful in kindergarten. So both teachers and parents have a role in helping child develop the necessary skills that they need to be successful in kindergarten and beyond. So most of our kindergarten readiness checklists will have a lot of academic or pre-academic kinds of things on them, but it's really important for us to remember that parents and teachers have a role in supporting the social and emotional development as well.
These are the reasons that we do a lot of different things in school. It's not just a matter of a child nodding off in class. It's about their awareness during the day and being able to function at a high level. Those are the reasons we offer things like breakfasts in school and things now, too, to make sure that they have what they need to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Definitely.
So as Angie was saying, academics are important. Children going to kindergarten should know that maybe be able to say their address, say their full name, maybe write at least their first name is helpful. Be sure that they can tell them who their parents are, that they know who's picking them up today, that they know their bus number or whatever, depending. So those are some ready for school things. Some of the alphabet letters would be great, but then Angie maybe can give some examples of some of those social skills that they also
need.
That
sounds like a lot of homework right away, though.
Right
off the
bat. Yeah. It's a lot to think about, and we just have such a short time before school starts. But one of the things that I've been doing is kind of looking at some different documents, checklists, and so forth. And one of the things that I found is that several school districts in the state of Iowa have endorsed the following list, and it's about 10 things, and it's adapted from a website called readingintosuccess.org. So if parents wanted to go there, they could find this kind of information. But so these are kind of 10 things really that aren't focused on academics too much that we really want kids to kind of be successful with. The first thing would be to be able to complete personal care tasks without help. So can they toilet themselves? Can they wash their hands? Can they dress themselves? Shoes and coats are often a big time sucker when you get into school, being able to button. And so if they can do a lot of those things themselves, they're going to be more prepared for success in kindergarten. Managing behavior in a group setting. So are they able to recognize the rules in the group and be able to maintain control, follow directions, just have that self-control?
Taking turns is a big thing.
Taking turns is a big thing, right. Number three would be to be able to identify and follow basic safety rules with help. You know, we stay with the group. We walk and we don't run. We don't climb on things. We know what a stranger is. You know, those kinds of things are very important. As Dr. Haas mentioned, being able to print the letters of their own name with help is very important. Identifying and responding to feelings of self and others. So do they know how to understand that their friend may be sad, and how can they console them? Or do they know how to identify feelings in themselves? I'm mad, and this is what I can do when I'm mad so I don't get out of control.
We want children to be able to say, I am really mad, she did something, mm-hmm. whatever, and I'm mad, instead of throwing themselves on the floor and having a tantrum.
Mm. Right.
So being able to say going on instead of just, mm-hmm. you know, blowing up or having a hissy fit.
Sure.
Tantrum,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Number six would be being able to carry out tasks and move between activities. So can they, when they get done with the blocks, can they pick those up and then transition to the next activity? So can they do those kinds of things?
Or if the teacher says it's time to stop art now, mm-hmm. and we have to come to the circle, that
they
children
that.
Understand they have to stop and come and sit in the circle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't want to stop whatever they're doing, you know.
That's hard when you're little.
It that's is, hard as an
adult. Because we're having so
it
much
hard
fun. It is, yeah. Playing with others cooperatively, that's a huge thing.
Sure.
So that can they play nicely, you know, play next to each other? Can they share? Can they have that give and take when they're playing? That's a really important skill for them to have. Using items that belong to themselves or others in a respectful manner. So we don't throw things, we don't break things, we don't take somebody else's toy because we want it. So can they do that? We talked about this a little bit, but can they express their thoughts and feelings and ideas clearly? Dr. Haas mentioned being able to know their address, their name, their, you know, who their parents are. Those are important things to know. Can they express that they need something? I'm hurt, or Sally's hurt and she needs somebody. So can they articulate those ideas with others? And then one of the final things on this list of 10 was to be able to use tools to complete activities while showing eye-hand coordination. So can they open and close scissors? You know, there's a lot of cutting and gluing and writing. Can they, you know, hold a pencil appropriately? Even when they do snack time or meal time, can they hold the utensils correctly? So those kind of fine motor eye-hand coordination things are also important, and parents can do things at home to help support those.
One thing that I've seen as a principal for many years was that first few days of school, parents love to send very special lunches with their children to eat. But the children have never had to open the juice box before. They've never had to take the spoon out of the plastic wrapper. So even practicing at home, maybe having a school lunch at home mm-hmm. before school starts, so that children can figure out how to get that Go-Gurt thing open or the juice box open, because it can make a mess. It can take a lot of time, and it can be frustrating for them to not have ever thought about having to learn to do that.
We probably don't think about that as parents so much,
right.
that we, you know, during those formative years, we spend so much time doing everything for them that we're, you know, we're trying a school setting to give them an opportunity to learn different things educationally, but they're also trying to learn socially and functionally
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah, like playing board games at home. If you play some board games, chutes and ladders, mm-hmm. checkers, whatever, taking turns,
mm-hmm.
they can practice in some board games and explicitly say, this is taking turns, and this is what you're going to be doing in school, is taking mm-hmm. turns. Sometimes it's not always going to be. I know my own granddaughter came home one day. Her teacher had called my daughter-in-law to say, you know, she can't be the line leader every day. Please talk to her about that.
mm-hmm.
So just understanding that it's not always your turn.
Right.
When you've been at home and the only child maybe, or the oldest, and it's always been your turn.
Right.
Are these the kind of issues that would come up, though, in a parent-teacher conference type setting for very young children then, too, if they're not quite where they need to be with some of these issues?
Yeah. Teachers have a very nice way of saying all those things,
uh-huh.
like the teacher that called my daughter-in-law. But, yes.
During parent-teacher conferences or when you come to pick up your child from kindergarten, you might hear something.
You can always ask your teacher, is there anything I should be working on at home?
Yeah.
Sure.
And they'll tell you.
When we were young, well, I assume you did, Dr. Haas, but we used to play school at home.
Right? Uh-huh.
And so we would just naturally play some of those things that my mom or my sisters learned when they were, you know, in school. And so that's a great opportunity to learn about what school going to look like. Yeah, so this is, we line up, we do this, we sit and, you know, and we do calendar time and, you know, we have recess and those kinds of things. So
absolutely.
Anything we can do to prepare them. But again, it's not just those pre-academic skills that many think we've got to know how to read and write and do math, but it's those things to learn how to get along with others and to be able to take care of yourself and be independent.
Sure. How many of us remember mom walking us to school that first day of kindergarten and then letting go of our hand and away we went, and they were worried about whether or not we were ready or not.
Right.
It's harder for parents and children sometimes.
That's right.
That's for sure.
Yes. That's right.
And then just a quick pitch for parents who have children 0 to 3. You know, if you have a child at home out there that you're wondering if they're on track developmentally, or you're worried that maybe their speech is a little behind, or they're not talking like some of their peers, or they can't crawl yet, and all the other babies that age that you see are already crawling. If you have concerns about some of those things, you know, our Green Hills AEA is a whole force of wonderful teachers who come into homes and do some evaluation of children, and if there are some things they're delayed on, give them lots of help and support in catching up, and that's early access. So Angie's got the teachers work with her in that regard, and we get hundreds of referrals all throughout the year from across our part of the state. So if you have an infant or toddler at home and you're just wondering, like, maybe that something isn't quite where they should be, you can give us a call and somebody will come out at no cost and come right to your home and do some assessment and give you some tips and ideas about what you can do too.
Absolutely. And that's the nice thing about having centers located throughout the area too, that there's someone who probably has that specialty and they're probably not too far away.
Right. We have physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists. We have, if your doctor has already diagnosed something that's going to be a concern of some sort down the road, a hearing loss or something, we have specialists who will help you, and there's no cost to that. We love to help. So give us a call, look us up online, reach out. We have people who right here in this neighborhood will come and help you.
Very good. Well, we take a lot of things for granted. We set target ages when we think children should be ready for school, but are they truly?
Right.
I guess that's part of our job, to make sure they're ready in all ways to step into that classroom for the first time.
So Happy New Year, everybody.
Yay.
And let's get ramped up for school year right after the fair, right?
They're excited to hear all about it, you bet. Not too far down the road. Angie Hance, Dr. Lolly Haas, thank you both for coming and appreciate it very much. Good information.
Thank you.
Thanks.